Welcome to Enlightenment of Change with Connie Whitman of Whitman & Associates. Here's Connie.
Welcome to Enlightenment of Change on webtalkradio.com. I'm your host, Connie Whitman. So excited that you're joining us today. Now, to help you on your journey of change and whatever that means for you, right? Everybody's always dealing with something. I have a free gift for you to hopefully help you navigate the communication process as you go through whatever change is happening in your business, your life, or your career. So in the show notes, you will find my free communication style assessment, my gift to you. It has two reports that you'll receive. One, your superpowers as it relates to communication. So really, really, it's how you show up with other humans as you communicate. Their perspective becomes your reality. So you'll want to know what those superpowers look like. Flip side, we all have blind spots as we communicate. You will get a secondary report, which is your lowest style. So they're the people that really speak like 180 degrees different than us. To me, that is almost more valuable. That report is almost more valuable than our superpowers. So that's my gift to you. It's in the show notes. Take it, enjoy it. And I hope it helps you navigate change a little bit more smoothly. Now, my motivational quote today is by Charles Darwin, and he says, "It is not the strongest of the species that survive, nor the most intelligent, but the one most responsive to change." Wow. If that, first of all, it sets the tone for today's show, but if that doesn't exemplify what Enlightenment of Change is about, it's just such a perfect quote. Now, I've always loved this quote personally because I believe it's really about, wait for it, learning and then unlearning. And then, oh yeah, that's right, learn again. And that order goes over and over again. So in order to remain relevant, I think both in my personal and professional life, that learning, unlearning is kind of important. Now, I think that when change is thrust upon us, that maybe we have an opportunity to learn and grow and choose to take charge of our life by moving forward in some way versus change comes and we stop. I also think that saying this is certainly easier said than done because we're human after all, and navigating the change landscape certainly can be daunting. Like me, I'm sure you've heard the phrase that the universe has your back and conspires to give your life exactly what you've imagined and what you hope for. So how exactly do we navigate change? By learning how to stand in our power and allowing the universe to do their job and have our back. Well, of course, I have an amazing guest today. She's actually a guest and friend. We've known each other for several years. It's Kate Montana. Now, Kate is a professional journalist specializing in alternative medicine, health, and consciousness. Since her surprise awakening in 2007, Kate has actually written several books on very different topics. So she has one, Unearthing Venus, My Search for the Woman Within, The E Word, Ego, Enlightenment, and Other Essentials. And then her novel, Apollo and Me, we've done a show on that. And her latest book, Cracking the Matrix, 14 Keys to Individual and Global Freedom. And that particular book, which is what we're going to talk about today, takes a deep dive into the history, nature, and presence of evil on this planet. She's also a champion for the unlimited human experience. She speaks about actualizing and embodying pure love as the antidote to the shadow forces currently keeping humanity from effective sacred activism and true change. Amen, Sister Kate. Thanks for being on the show, my friend. I missed you.
I know. It's so good to be back, Connie. I have to keep cranking out the books.
I know. It's true, right? You keep cranking them. I'll keep having you on the show. So, yeah. Thanks for coming on. I know she's in Hawaii, guys. I know we should all be jealous. So it's quite early where she is. So let's talk about Kate, you know, standing in your power while coming from an incomplete understanding of how life operates, right? Unaware of this multi-dimensional forces at work on planet Earth. Like, how do we deal with all of this going on?
Yeah, well,
it's the big question.
Yeah, a big question. You know, if you'd asked me 5 years ago, wait a minute, you probably did. You know, I have all the answers. I know I've been meditating for 40 years. You know, I've had enlightenment experiences. Just ask me anything. I'll tell you how it, you know, oh my God. What's the old saying? You don't know what you don't know.
Oh, amen. Yeah.
Amen.
So as we get older too, Kate, I feel like the wiser I get, the more I realize I don't know. Right.
Yeah. You know, actually, that's actually a quote I have at the beginning of my book from Socrates, is wisdom is knowing how much we don't know.
Yeah, love it.
So fundamentally, COVID hit, 2020 hit, and I was beyond shocked. I looked at the world go into madness and divisiveness and conflict, and I was like, just mondo biondo fear.
Yeah.
And I was like, what the hell is going on? And which I'm sure a lot of people, oh my God. So finally, Connie, I decided to kind of take off my spirituality hat and, you know, the I have to always be positive hat. I always have to look to the light hat. I always have to, you know, don't have a negative thought.
That's right.
And I went, okay, I know for a fact, because I've experienced astral attack, interdimensional influences, mental influences,
sure,
all of my life on and off, ever since a kid. And but those influences usually happen during liminal spaces between waking and sleeping. Gnarly dreams where, you know, the clawed thing is coming after you. Sometimes in early on in meditation, I had a lot of out of body experiences and a lot of really gnarly astral attacks because I was raising my consciousness coming from down here. And
sure.
And so I was open to that sort of influence, but it always, you know, it's not like me chewing gum in here and talking to you now. It's, you know, it's like, wow, that was kind of weird. Okay. And then you move on. So finally, when COVID hit, I just went, you know, there is a force at work on this planet. I've known it for a long time. I've ignored it my entire life. I'm not going to ignore it anymore. And how do I navigate change? As I loved your introduction, how do you navigate change? You unlearn what you think you learn. And so I went through a deep dive of researching the nature and presence of what we term evil on this planet. And I was beyond shocked to realize that, to uncover that every culture on every continent back 5,000-6,000 years has a name and a description for this interdimensional force. Well, we call it the devil, Beelzebub. The Islamic call it Ashaitan. The Hawaiians call it E'epa. The Greeks, the ancient Greeks, labeled these beings the archons, the evil entities of evil intent. Native Americans call this force Wendigo. Other tribes in Native America call it Wetiko. It just goes on and on and on. And it's always about this negative, degrading whisper campaign that is just, it's something that's invisible, intangible, but it's a mental penetration.
Yeah.
And a degrading influence.
Yeah.
And so I was like, well, holy, you know what? Now, what do I do with this? And it's like, I finally had to take a hard look at like everything that I'd learned in the whole New Age and how this influence has influenced us for thousands of years. And it's just like, well, so all this unlearning happened. It's just like, okay, wait a minute. I live on a planet that has actually been co-opted, if you will, by another intelligence and has been for, I finally traced it back about 30,000 years.
Wow.
Yeah. From the fall of Lemuria, from what I, and Atlantis, from what I've researched, this influence is very binary. It's completely unemotional. It does not know love. It's about corrosion and I call it an anti-life force.
Wow.
Because it just eats at anything. It's corrosive. And it's also wants, it's very aggressive and wants what it wants. It wants life, this kind of life, this, you know, our light. It wants it. It isn't it. It's the anti-light, if you will, anti-love, anti-life force. Yeah. And I was like, well, so where did this come from? So the best I've been able to figure out is that when the Atlantean culture rose approximately around 30,000-35,000 years ago, incredibly scientific, totally mental, very binary, very linear intellectual, and their scientific technologies, they ended up emanating this power over, aggression, we will subdue and we will make nature submit, the mind is supreme, locks out the heart, and our light began to diminish, and that pulled this matching frequency in.
So
from elsewhere.
So is that the origin, do you think of, I'm going to use the word evil, but do you think that's about 30, 35,000 years old, or is evil prior, they just kind of opened Pandora's box, if you will?
I think they opened that. Yes, I think they opened Pandora's box. This, and one of the most bizarre, oh my God, I'm going to do the end of the book right at the beginning of our show. One of the things that really blew my mind was I was listening to a wonderful, and I highly recommend this woman, a woman by the name of Jacqueline Hobbs, AKA Oracle Girl, oraclegirl.org.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I was listening to her talk about something, and then out of the blue, she said, and you know, this interdimensional negative influence comes from an altogether different source. And then she went on to talk about something else. And I was just like,
froze. Yeah.
Another source?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wait a minute. I was raised in a monotheistic culture. All of Western Islam, Judaism, Christianity were all monotheists, and it's all one source, one light. And so that just blew my gourd. But it made so much sense when I really stopped to think about it, because one of the gnarliest problems about monotheism is we're left trying to struggle with, well, if we have a God of love, if light is love and the source is love, where the hell did evil come from? Where did ritual rape of a three-year-old baby come from?
That's right.
Where does, you know, and torture for it to split personalities and put, you know, where does all that shit come from? Can
yeah.
I say that?
Sorry. Yes, you can. Yeah, it's a little baby word, let's say.
Yeah, so, you know, I've watched how religion and then the whole spirituality movement has gone into just these contortions trying to explain this negativity. Well, we really don't explain it in the whole New Age. We kind of go, yes, well, there's a shadow, but look over here to the light. No, don't look over there, look over here. And religion has dragged evil and this whole source into kind of a ludicrous place where what real thinking person could really believe in this? Because, trivialized, a snake tempted humanity and we're all screwed ever since.
The apple, right? Eating the apple, Adam and Eve. Yeah.
Adam and Eve, you know, whatever, you know, so the devil has become ridiculous, and the whole spiritual notion of even being a spirit and a child of God to some minds becomes ridiculous. And so I just watched this, and I kind of actually lost my train of thought here, but this whole thing just appeared on my plate. And I was like, wait a minute, I'm looking at a completely different reality here, where this influence has come from, as I say, another source. Okay, so I've had to completely talk about unlearning, Connie.
Yeah.
When I opened the door and finally looked at this presence, which is unmistakable, undeniable, absolute. Now that I'm over my whitewashing attempts of my entire life. And I was like, okay, now this makes sense. And then I started to look at COVID. And I looked at the mandates and the lockdowns and the move to totalitarianism and the whole drive towards AI and to marry us with computers and to basically destroy our humanity.
Yes.
And take us away from love, take us away from one another, from cooperation and connection. And I was like, that's that force. That is that influence. And so literally, Connie, in 2020, I started writing this book last year. God, what year is this? This is 2023.
Yeah.
2021. I started writing the book last year in 2022, just this time, because I was actually driven to. I had to write about this once I finally saw it.
It's interesting, Kate, because I recorded another show for my other podcast, Changing the Sales Game. and we were talking about the AI and social media and all the noise out there and how it is literally sucking our brains, right? And by keeping us focused on our pings and stuff, people go, well, I don't look. And he's done a ton of research like you, and his statistics show that even when, like right now, I'm not looking at my phone, I have my timer on just so that we, you know, because I'm always mindful of my listeners' time and my guests' time. And but other than that, your phone is by your desk. We're working. We're not using it. He says your capacity, though, goes down 20% of learning, of efficiency, of productivity, because subconsciously, whether you realize it or not, and this blew my mind, we're looking at our phone. Did anything come through? Is there an email? Do I need to respond to something? He said, so subconsciously, we don't even realize we're giving over our brain energy, our brain focus, our brain, our thoughts to this artificial intelligence happens to be a phone. So what you're saying, I think that there is powers out there that are trying to derail us from the goodness and the love and all those things. So talk to me about, so I understand what the evil is. I understand where it came from, right? 30, 35,000 years ago, you know, the Atlanteans, they opened this Pandora's box, if you will, right? So now it's more mainstream, let's say, okay? So let's talk about love. You mentioned love as kind of the antidote or the opposite of. So how does I think we understand how evil shows up. Like you said, you know, babies, you know, getting abused or children getting abused, right? Rape, whatever, all those really icky, bad things that are out there, murder, whatever. But how do you think love shows up? And what do you think on contrast to that evil, what do you think the love actually stands for?
Love is who we are. It's our innate, natural base frequency, if you will, is pure love. And this influence has assiduously, for now thousands of years, tried to convince us that we are not spirit, that we are not beings of love, that we are beings of violence, conflict, division, aggression, that the body is a shameful, sin-filled pit of corruption, naturally, that we are degenerate, that we are dysfunctional. That has been the message for thousands of years. Oops. And what, you know, and I have to say, you know, a lot of people in the last couple of years have gone, whoa, you know, that's pretty gnarly. You know, you've been investigating evil for the last couple of years. Holy, doesn't this scare you? And I was like, well, it kind of did at first, but when I finally, Connie, and here's the kicker, and here's the good news. I feel like, you know, Christian, here's the good news. When I finally turned around and I really looked at the nature of this influence, it's interdimensional, it's non-physical, highly mental, it works on our it feeds on our emotional energies.
Sure.
Okay. So it's a parasite. Yeah. It doesn't have enough power to pick up a pen, so it has had to co-opt us to be its physical vehicle and to work through us to bring about its agenda, which is to lower our natural frequency of pure love, which it will never equal or be able to rise to, because it is completely an alien energy from love. Okay. So it has to drag us down. It wants physicality. So the agenda over 30,000 years is to lower us in frequency until we operate at its frequency and it can finally embody through us. It already does in cases of possession, split personalities, that sort of thing. It's absolutely a co-opting of our human vehicle.
So how has the human perception, right, been tricked into believing that we kind of live in this false reality then, right? If we are unaware of these opposing forces, right? The good, let's just say good versus evil. How have we kind of been tricked into believing that we're in this false reality then, based on what you're saying?
I've got a great story for you. Okay. So I think the most insidious program, debasing program that has been introduced to humanity is the whole concept of original sin. Mm. The body is worm food. It's corruption itself. And you're born evil and rotten to the core because you're born into this body. So all of your whole life, you strive to be other than you are, out of your body. You never know that you're pure love. Love only belongs to God, which is out there, which is a program. So we're constantly moving away from what we are, being pure love. This body is not physical. We've all ingested enough quantum physics, for God's sakes, in the last 30 years to understand at least the philosophy that this isn't really physical. It appears physical. It is a, you know, this is a quantum structure. It's spirit appearing physical. So the body is pure love. And so the whole agenda has been to move us out of our bodies and to incorporate the belief that we are what this interdimensional force is, that we are evil, that we are negative, that we are lustful and aggressive and conspiring and conflicting and tearing people apart. So it introduces, it infiltrates our thoughts. It infiltrates our philosophies, our religions, our spiritual teachings, our politics, our economics. Let's build a hierarchical structure where everybody struggles at the bottom and a few gain and win and suppress from the top. Everything in our freaking world, Connie, has been built around this agenda of infiltration, lowering, and debasement, create conflict, divide, division, take us out of our heart. Original sin. So here's an example of how this influences. Back in 353 AD, Augustine of Hippo, better known as Saint Augustine, was born. And 30 years later, he introduced the concept of original sin into Christian theology. And it was adopted into Christian theology at the Synod of Hippo in, I don't know, something like 399. Well, we all know what original sin is, you know, born corrupt, you're in the body, you're a sinful creature, blah, blah. Interestingly enough, his dad was pagan, his mom was Christian. Augustine of Hippo was actually a ne'er-do-well sexual reprobate for the first like 25 years of his life. He was just a drunk and a womanizer, much to the despair of his Christian mother, who, you know, he was going to go to hell. He, at some time in his 20s, ran across the teaching, the religious philosophy called Manichaeism, which was developed by Mani of the prophet of Babylon around 210 AD, about 150 years before Augustine. So Manichaeism is built on the foundation of original sin, that the body is the pit that we all crawl out from, you know, totally sullied, and we have to be redeemed by the God that is outside of us. So so Augustine ran across this. He converted to Manichaeism, and then he converted to Christianity. And he was, and this beautiful because, you know, this little sinful, guilt-ridden, sexual, ex-sexual reprobate dude goes, "That's why I was such a prick. Oh, I get it. It was my body seducing me. Oh, I'm not at fault. Okay, so he's now I'm cleansed because I've seen the light and I love God and I now know that, you know." So and then he introduces it and it's now part of Christian theology. Now the question is where did Mani get the idea of original sin? He got it from his other self, a disembodied voice that used to whisper to him and tell him things. And he believed it was an angel. But this other voice, this insidious, invisible mental presence insinuated the thought of original sin into Mani. Augustine picks it up. Now, 1,500 years later, so how many generations is that? Almost 100 generations of men, women, and children in all of Western Judaism, Islam, and Christianity, believe they're sinful, believe they're filled with shame, believe that they're not worthy of love, and that only love and inspiration can come from outside them, from God, and that any natural prompting they have, any intuition, any sort of source of themselves should be mistrusted. Talk about an epigenetic influence of 1500 years, many generations. And we look at our society today, and how many magazine articles have you read in the last 30 years about low self-esteem, Connie?
Yeah.
That's the program.
Yeah.
That's one example in 30,000 years, how we have been infiltrated and dragged down.
And, you know, this is fascinating because we know we're energetic beings, right? We have a vibration. It's proven scientifically. It's proven. Now we have the apparatus to put on our brain waves and to test all these things. So it's proven, right? We know we're energy. We know we're transmitting all the time. And that it's almost ignorant to think that there is no opposing force to universe, God, whatever it is for you, right? So here's the scary thing. You know, look at the level of depression, the level of drugs to deal with depression. Look at the suicide rate of teenagers, right? Because of bullying and all this other frightening things that are happening. You know, look at the wars that are happening across the world, religious and otherwise. Look at the powerhouses that are trying to control, you know, through these communist different countries. But even within the United States, there's this element of control. People in power try to control us, right? Us humans. And this has been going on for years and years, right? Back in the days, you know, Hitler, then even before that, you had Jesus Christ, right? Judas betrays Jesus Christ. Like the good versus evil has been happening, I believe, since the start of time. And the fear is that the voice of the evil has become, and again, devil, whatever you want to call it, this other energy, this negative energy, but it's affecting us. And we're seeing it, I think, exponentially in everything we do. And now the other thing that I'm getting, and I'm paying attention to it, but it's the whole AI thing, right? So can humanity accept AI and yet remain fully human when we're educating this AI? And I saw it today. I had a meeting with my virtual assistant, and I asked her a question. I use Kajabi, which is just a platform for education, you know, and it's a really nice platform. And so they had an email came through about this artificial intelligence. So I know I have to stay relevant, right? So I said to her, she's younger than me. What is this? So we were playing with it. And we used the word friendly in the little description. Mm-hmm. And the tone of this message, email, whatever, however many, I'm not using it, but if I were to use it, had a friendly tone. And I said to her, this is terrifying that this computer, I put in 5 or 6 words in the little search, if you will, and it came out with a friendly voice, like I would be, versus a more professional or stern voice. Frightening. So can humanity accept all this AI that's happening and yet remain fully human? It's scary.
Yeah, it is all scary. Before we go there, would you please remind me to get back to your point if I lose track?
Yeah.
Where is our power?
Agreed. Where is our power?
When I turned around and I finally got over my fear of looking at this and looked at it and realized it can't hold a fucking pen. Where is its power? Its power comes from me.
That's right.
I am a creator, divine
or
being,
otherwise, yeah.
Or love. So I am creating its agenda for it. Because I've bought the program that I am a sinful, shameful, aggressive, violent, divisive creature. It's the farthest thing from the truth. And when I turned around, Connie, and I finally saw it for what it is, and I realized that I am a being of love. How many decades of meditation have I struggled?
Yes.
To accept finally and for good that I am this being of pure love. I wrestled with this dark shadow up until a year ago when I finally realized its place. Not me. Never was me.
Yeah.
And so when I finally went, oh my God, none of that is me. Then all of a sudden, the continued built-in programmed striving in society, the message of society, religion, and New Age spirituality is exactly the same message. You're not enough as you are. Strive to be something more.
That's right.
Be thinner, richer, sexier, more powerful, be purer, sweeter, smarter, be more godlike, be more divine, be more forgiving. But don't be what you really are, a being of pure love, embodying pure love in an expressive vehicle of pure love. You can't become what you already are. So when I finally, Connie, took a look at the whole situation that plainly, it was like taking the biggest piece of dead meat off my back. And I put it aside and I went, oh, I'm in my power now. I no longer am buying the message that I have to improve, be better, be different than I am. I hate simple statements like that.
And easier said than done, right?
And the simpler it is, the harder it is.
Amen. I agree with that for sure. Yeah.
I work every day, all day, every day, staying embodied. The last thing I was taught in meditation, which was all up and out, up and out. Now I'm realizing true power lies down and in.
Yes.
Everything is vice versa. So the body never lies. The body is our talisman of truth. It's our flame in the darkness. It's our guide, our intuitive capacity to know the heart, brain, gut connection. The body can guide me. My body got my emotions, my intuitive feelings more and more and more. I just, you know, I'm pulling out of my mind. And that's why I called it the matrix. We live in this mental matrix and it's not real. It's not who we are at all. So I literally live in another world now.
And it's fascinating.
Is here.
Yeah, right. Loving, just being loving. And if everybody in the world or everybody listening to this show just did something loving for themselves and for someone else today, and you do that every day, think about how we can change the world together, right? But it just starts with you and standing in your own power. We're out of time, but listen, I think I know it goes so fast, Kate. Everybody needs to read the books, Cracking the Matrix, 14 Keys to Individual and Global Freedom. And I love that title because everybody understands the matrix, right? Keanu Reeves and the whole matrix with, what was the
Keanu Reeves.
The main character, whatever matrix. His name. The matrix. Anyway, the 14 Keys to Individual. Here's the thing that I love with the subtitle, Individual and Global Freedom. I can't change you. You can't change me. I can certainly understand what you're saying, read this book, and it can influence me. But at the end of the day, I have to choose an individual to love myself and love others every single day. And by doing that, we create this global movement. So I just love that 14 keys to individual and global freedom, and then Cracking the Matrix. I just thought that was a really cool title. The book is coming out in
March.
The end of March, 2023. So check Amazon, guys. If this show posts before the I have the Amazon link, just know that the end of March, this will be March of 2023. It'll be posting. Go ahead, Kate. You want to say something?
Let me give you a gift. Let me give your listeners a gift. I will post an excerpt from the book on my website and give you the link that they can go to.
Perfecto. That's awesome. Website is katemontana.com. If you have a question for Kate specifically, like this is something that's moving you or inspiring you, please reach out to her. It's info@katemontana.com. And Kate, she spells with a C, not a K. You're reading my mind, my friends. I love it. So I will put both in the show notes and I'll put the website. Will there be a separate link for the chapter?
Okay. Yes.
Okay. Yes. And I will put that in the show notes as well, everyone. Thank you, Kate, for that. That's beautiful. So check it out, buy the book. And I really believe that together, you know, I can control me. I can't control you guys. But if we can change individually, I really do think we could create a global movement of love. And for me, you got to show up and just show the world that you love them. And Kate, you know, I rebranded during COVID as well from Whitman and Associates. And now I'm changing the sales game. And my little subtitle is almost, if you're not selling from a place of love, care, and respect, you need to stop. And then obviously learn from me or others who are teaching that sales is really loving others and sharing your zone of genius to help them move the needle on wherever they're stuck or wherever their problems are, et cetera. But you got to come from love, care, and respect, or we're doing it all wrong. And that's why I love you so much, because I know you believe that. But together, if we understand, read a book like yours, right? And understand that we can change this paradigm of thinking within ourselves. And then the ripple effect externally for humanity is just a beautiful thing. So thank you so much for being on. I'm so excited that you wrote this book and that I got to see you again.
Totally. Thank you so much.
I love you. Thank you, Kate.
Aloha,
my friend. And listen, keep writing those books and keep questioning. Keep questioning, because I think with questions, we dig deeper and we could find the truth, right? But the truth is being camouflaged, I think, every which way we look. And I think that, yeah, we're giving up our power to government. And again, no conspiracy theories here. Just stand in your own power. It's just a beautiful way to end the show. So thank you for that last piece. Go ahead.
Listen to this and
listen
make
to
your
the heart.
Choice. When a choice comes up, do I buy this? Do I take this medicine? Do I take this program in? Listen to what your body tells you, what your heart tells you, and go. It's going to be tough because the majority don't listen yet.
Yet. And that's the power.
Yes. And that is the path out.
Yeah. I hope you're on this passionate mission that Kate and I are on to share love across the world. And I know people are like, oh, there she goes. There goes Connie again with her love stuff. But love is so powerful. It's so beautiful. It's so pure. And children are born. There is no hidden agendas. There is no evil within them, right? It's just the pure beauty of love. And I think we need to shine our light a little brighter, everyone. So that's my mantra for the day. Shine a little light, right? Shine a little love. Kate, thank you again. And thank you for joining me. And I hope that you join me weekly as we question, build, and discover together. No matter what change you're facing, I truly hope my guests and I inspire you to think differently, come from a different perspective. Just think of the notion of, you know, Kate's last thing she said, right? Before you buy something, pause. Do you really want it? Do you really need it? Maybe not, right? Health before you take a pill. Is there something else you can do to improve your health? You have the power within you to change your own life. I believe that we have the power within us to change the world. So thank you, Kate. Thank you for tuning in to Enlightenment of Change with me, your host, Connie Whitman, on webtalkradio.com. I truly hope that today's show and conversation inspired you to maybe think a little bit differently. I highly recommend buying the book, reading the book, enjoying the book, and then implementing it into your life by just sharing love. It's as simple as that, guys. It's as simple as that. I love you all. And I hope that you tune in next week for my next guest and I to have another amazing conversation. I truly love you. And I hope that you have an inspired week filled with love. Have a great one, everybody. Thanks a million.